All right, good. Thank you so much, Mrs. Palmore. Take your Bible, if you will, and let's look at it again together. And that is 1 John chapter 2, if you will, and verse 15, where the Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Everybody that you come into contact with should see the love of the Father in you. May I say tonight, in being the right type of friend, when your friend gets close to you, they should see the love of the Father in you. One of the biggest, I think, fallacies of a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship in the teenage years is that which is a disturbing thing, where it takes that which is the emotions, it takes that which is the being of a young person that should be fully consecrated unto the Lord and causes a total distraction. We encourage young people here, wait until your Bible college age years before you begin to date or become emotionally attached to a person of the opposite gender. We have taught that for years. We will continue to teach that as years go by. Now, can I tell you, however, that when a person becomes trapped in that which is an emotional cycle, becoming close to somebody at an early age when they themselves cannot understand the emotional gravity of what is really going on, it puts them in a very awkward position. They almost feel weird. It puts them in an uncomfortable zone, and they try to impress others by fitting in. They try to impress others by conforming, because after all, they want to belong. And they become confused, frustrated, sometimes difficult to even understand as they go into the emotional swings. And they mistakenly look at somebody else and have an emotional dependency on them rather than on the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, a relationship oftentimes will go too far, too fast, and too soon. And so it's very important that we help our young people make the right decisions. I think Hollywood has really hurt our young people, because Hollywood teaches this, that you will find your true happiness in choosing the right person. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches you find your true happiness in being the right person. If you decide that you're going to be the right person and continue to be the right person, you will attract who you are so that you will get the right person. But if you're always trying to choose the right person. That's how come Hollywood, here's what happens. In Hollywood, they teach you choose the right person and you'll be happy. But the problem is, when you choose the right person and you're not happy, then what do they teach? You choose another person. And when you choose another person and you're not happy, then what happens? You choose another person. That's how come most of your Hollywood actors and Hollywood people that are there will go through 5 and 6 and 7 different marriages within their lifetime. Why? Because they have it wrong. They're putting their happiness based on the person that they choose rather than becoming the person that they ought to be. Can I tell you tonight, you ought to choose God's will. Can I tell you tonight, you ought to be somebody that controls your emotions through the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you tonight, you ought to choose purity. You ought to choose family. You ought to choose Christ. You ought to choose true love. And you ought to decide that in order to be able to develop a deeper relationship, first and primarily, you develop a friendship relationship. You decide that you're going to be obsessed with being the right person. You be the right person. You be obsessed with reading the Word of God. You be obsessed with coming to church. You be obsessed with having higher standards rather than lower standards. You be obsessed with being completely surrendered to God's will. And in so doing, you will draw what you are. Now, can I tell you some things that I think we ought to put inside of friendships? What type of friend should you be? If I'm going to draw people to the love of God, and I'm going to articulate with my life a true friend, as the Bible calls it, then what type of articulation should I be giving out to others in being that true friend? Let me give you a couple of things. Statement number one, a friend is kind. A friend is kind. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24, the Bible says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. By the way, it didn't say must show himself unfriendly. He's kind. He is somebody that decides that he's going to be considerable. He's somebody that when he speaks, he's going to smile. He's somebody, if you would please, that is going to try to be that friend, if you will, to extend themselves to you rather than making you extend yourself to them. So statement number one, a friend is kind. Statement number two, a friend is faithful. Faithful. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 10, the Bible says, thine own friend, thy father's friend, forsake not. Now we understand that you're supposed to forsake and be separated from that which is bad. The Bible teaches that. Psalm 1, Proverbs 1 teaches those things. But we understand that a friend is going to be somebody that is with you through thick and thin. They're going to be there on your good day and they're going to be there on your bad day. A friend is going to be somebody that accepts you in your strengths, stay with me, and also accepts you in your weakness. A good marriage is you love the person for who they are, not wishing to change them to become what you think they ought to be. That's a good marriage. A good friendship is accepting somebody for who they are, praying for them, loving them, encouraging them, and you're with them through thick and thin. You're with them on their good days. You're with them on their bad days. You're the cheerleader, if you would please, inside of the friendship. Step number one, so a friend is kind. Step number two, a friend is faithful. Step number three, a friend makes you a better person. A friend makes you a better person. By the way, your spouse ought to make you a better person. Your spouse ought to make you a better person. The friend that is in your life ought to make you a better person. You know, a friend will always lift you to higher ground, and a friend does not pull you down to a lower level. A friend will urge you to do right. A friend will urge you to do right. So a friend makes you a better person. Statement number next. A friend is knit to your heart. A friend is knit to your heart. You think about the story in 1 Samuel chapter 18, where the Bible talks in verse 1 how Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. So a friend is knit to your heart. A friendship, now think about this, a friendship is a gift from God. Amen. That's what a friendship is. A friendship is a gift that God has given you. And by the way, you ought to look at your wife that way and thank God for your wife and say, my wife is a gift from God. You ought to look at your husband that way and say, thank God for my husband. My husband is a gift from God. Somebody like that preaching? You ought to look at those around you and say that are your friends. That is a gift that God has given me. Now, by the way, are you listening to me? I said that true friends, a biblical friendship, you stick together through thick and thin. When you're feeling well and when you're not feeling well. When you're excited, when you're not excited. When you amen to preacher, nobody amens to preacher. All right, I'm saying this. I'm saying a friend is kind. A friend is faithful. A friend makes you a better person. A friend is knit to your heart. Statement number five. A friend can share friends. Stay with me. A friend can share friends. Jesus said this about Lazarus. He said, our friend Lazarus is sick. Our friend Lazarus is sick. He shared his friend. He shared his friend. Somebody that says, this is my best friend and my true friend and nobody else can have my best friend is not really your best friend. Because a friend will be someone that shares. They're not going to be selfish. They're not going to be somebody that all of a sudden when you see your friend talking to somebody else, that all of a sudden you get jealous about that and you start saying bad things about that because, after all, that is my friend. If that is truly your friend, then you have a desire, if they're such a good person, to share them with other people. Statement number one, I said a friend is kind, a friend is faithful. Statement number two, a friend makes you a better person. Statement number three, statement number four, a friend is knit to your heart. Statement number five, a friend can share friends. Statement number six, a friend expresses love. A friend expresses love. Here's what it says, Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 5. The Bible says, open rebuke is better than secret love. So secret love has no real place in friendship. If somebody is your real friend, you ought to give them the privilege to correct you. Wait a minute, and if you are the real friend to somebody else, you ought to feel like you have the privilege to correct them without them getting offended. Hello? Somebody comes up and says, hey, you better tie your shoe, you're going to fall. Well, don't get offended about that. They just stopped you from falling. You know, somebody comes up and he says, oh, don't back up. Don't back up now. You're gonna hit that car back. Don't back up now. Don't back up now. You're going to hit that car back there. You know, what is that? That's a friend. So I'm not going to take that from my friend. Okay, go ahead, back up. Sometimes a friend will give you warning. You know, the preacher that is truly your friend is going to preach the truth to you whether you like it or not. Because he's your friend. The preacher that is your friend is going to correct you whether you accept it or not. Not because he's mad at you, but because he cares about you. Because he's a friend to you. Okay? So a friend expresses love. How do they express love? Well, open rebuke is better than secret love. Sometimes a friend, by the way, it's better for somebody to live the life of friendship than only to say the words, I love you. Sometimes that which is the experience of love speaks greater and more volumes than the words of love. A friend, statement number six, expresses love. Statement number seven, a friend is willing to wound. They are willing to wound. Okay? Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 6, the Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a what? Friend. So a friend sometimes, now, but it's true, sometimes a friend will wound you. Sometimes a friend will hurt your feelings. Here's what you say. You say, well, if they were my friend, they wouldn't hurt my feelings that way. No, the fact of the matter is, they are your friend. That's why they wounded you. All right, take the example of the sheep and the shepherd. Here's a sheep. The sheep, stubborn, self-willed, which is not your typical sheep. But the sheep, this particular one, or two, or three, or whatever, stubborn, self-willed, all right? And so what does the shepherd do? He gently breaks the leg. So that mean old shepherd, he shouldn't have did that. Just saved the sheep's life. He's going to wander off into the brush at night. Wolf's going to get him. Dead sheep. Dead sheep. All right? And by the way, don't get mad at your parents. You say, my parents ought to consider my feelings. No, they ought to consider your life. There's a big difference between considering feelings and life. You might have to get your feelings hurt in order for somebody to salvage your life. It would be better for your dad to put you in the corner, look you in the eyeball, chew you out, give you what for, you get your feelings hurt, you go stomping off in the other room, you get mad and still receive the right instruction, than him never rebuke you because, after all, he's afraid of hurting your feelings. It would be better to salvage your life and have your, hey, look, have I rebuked my kids to the place where they cried? Oh, yeah, ask them. Has Mrs. Wells ever rebuked our kids to the point to the place where they cried? Oh, yeah. And they cry, Abba, Father. But now, wait a minute. It was good for them. You need parents, you need authorities in your life that loves you enough to wound you when it's necessary. You say, well, that just doesn't set well with me. Okay, next point. Statement number X. A friend strengthens others in God. A friend will strengthen others in God. He won't strengthen in himself. My Bible says the arm of the flesh shall fail you. He can't strengthen in himself, but he can strengthen in God. 1 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 16, the Bible says, and Jonathan, Saul's son, arose. Now listen to what it says here. And went to David in the woods and strengthened the hand, it says, his hand in God. Now wait a minute. Here, I'm talking about 3,000 soldiers couldn't locate David at this time. 3,000 soldiers were hunting him at this time. Couldn't locate him. But the friend did. The friend knew exactly where to find him. The friend knew exactly where he was standing. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that a friend strengthens others in God. When the multitudes can't, a friend can. A friend can. You ought to have a friend that you ought to be able to ask this. What do you think about my child rearing efforts? And let them be plain with you. Let them be sharp with you and take it. Young people come to my office all the time. They say, preacher, is there anything in my life I need to straighten out? Here's my question to them. Do you really want to know? Oh, yes, I do. Sit down. And I'll shoot it straight with them. I'll ask them this, though. I say, you sure you can take it? Well, I think so. Now, I'm not mean to them. I'm not coarse with them. I've never been mean or coarse with anybody, but I will shoot it straight. Okay? A friend strengthens others in God. Statement number one, I said a friend is kind. Statement number two, I said a friend's faithful. A friend makes you a better person. Statement number three. Statement number four, a friend is somebody that is knit to your heart. Statement number five, a friend can share friends. Statement number six, a friend expresses love. Statement number seven, a friend is willing to wound. Statement number eight, a friend strengthens others in God. Statement number nine, a friend rejoices in blessings. They don't get jealous of blessings. Well, God gave me a new car. You know what a friend does? Oh, that's wonderful. Praise God. You deserve that. That is super. That's what a friend does. Amen. Well, you know, down at the workplace, I just got an extra $1,000 on my check. Hey, praise God. That is wonderful. You probably deserve two. You probably deserve two. That way we could share. That's what friends do. Okay? Now, I'm saying that a friend rejoices in blessings. Statement number next. A friend praises his friends. He praises his friends. Okay? The Bible says in Proverbs 27 and verse 2, the Bible says, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth. So what does a friend do? A friend is somebody that praises friends. Hey, you did a great job singing. That was super. Well, thank you for that. You know, you did a great job taking that offering. Wow. You know, Brother Lofton, you did a great job reading that prayer. Wonderful. You know, a friend praises his friends. That's what he does. Man, you did soul winning. I tell you what, you did a super job. I saw you stop that person, gave him a gospel tract. Man, I tell you what, that helped me. Praises somebody else. Now, I watched you in church. I watched you the whole time I was preaching. I kept glancing down at you. You didn't talk one time. You paid attention. Man, that's a great two-year-old. You know, praise his friends. I mean, that's a great deacon. All right, so a friend praises his friends. Okay, statement number next. A friend doesn't overstay his welcome. Well, they're my friends. They don't care if I stay. It doesn't matter. You know, I can leave whenever I want to leave. 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 No, really, they're my friend. I can stay until midnight. Get out. Hey, I'll tell you what, Lee Robertson, he was something. Lee Robertson, somebody asked the other day, why do you think Dr. Robertson lived to be almost 99 years old? I think he died at 97 or so. Why do you think he lived so long? His schedule, 10 o'clock, going to bed. Going to bed, 10 o'clock. He would have businessmen over the house. I mean, these, you know, he would have people of importance over his house. 10 o'clock, he'd get up and say, going to bed, turn the lights off when you leave. He'd go in the bedroom, shut the door. Didn't come back out. He didn't care if they locked the door or not. Living in Chattanooga, safe place. All right? And he'd just go to bed. Okay? Every day after lunch, he took a 30-minute nap on his lap. Nap, nap, lap. He did that. He put his head on his lap. No. But anyway, 30 minutes every day. 30 minutes every day. Somebody asked him one time, why do you think you live so long? He said, I live by schedule and nobody interferes. Okay, now I'm saying this. I'm saying don't overstay your welcome, okay? A friend doesn't overstay his welcome. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 7, the Bible says, a full soul, it says, lofteth and honeycomb. So don't overstay the welcome. You know, when your time is full, get out. Get out. Okay? Statement number next. Statement number 12. A friend gives biblical counsel. Not opinion. I think you ought to. I believe you should. Now, a friend's going to say, look, here's the Bible principle. Here's what you should be doing. He's going to give some biblical counsel. The Bible talks about the ointment and the perfume. It says, rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. By hearty counsel. What's hearty? A lot. So, you know, a friend's going to give you a lot of counsel. If he really cares, he's going to give you a lot of counsel. He's not going to say, man, do what you want to do. Hope it turns out okay. He's not going to do that. He's going to say, oh, look, here's what you should be doing. This is what you should be doing. Here's a direction. Walk ye therein. Okay, a friend is going to give hearty counsel. Okay, a friend gives biblical counsel. Statement number 13. A friend is sensitive. A friend is sensitive. Sensitive. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 14. The Bible says, he that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, says, rising up early in the morning, he shall be counted a curse to him. Okay? You know, he's sensitive. If he knows that something's going to irritate you, he doesn't do it. He's sensitive. You know, he doesn't come in the morning, get up! You know, and you're like, ah. Oh. He's sensitive. You know, he's sensitive with the things that he does in trying to help. Okay, statement number 14. Statement number 14. A friend sharpens. He sharpens. He sharpens. Proverbs 27 and verse 17, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Countenance. Now, by the way, what's in here shows up here. All right, come on. How can you tell if somebody got your joke? Shows up here. Shows up here. You know, all of a sudden, preacher's up there. Man, he's giving a tear-jerking illustration. I mean, it is just like I'm talking. It's jerking on everybody's heart but yours. And you begin to laugh. Okay? You didn't get it. It shows up here. Hello? Now, you can't always go by this. You can't always go by this. Okay? You say, well, that person didn't get the joke. They might have a tummy ache, toothache, foot ache, jaw ache, ear ache, nose ache, finger ache, ache. Okay? All right? And so a friend sharpens. Statement number next. A friend helps through trials. A friend helps through trials. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 17, here it is, and verse 17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born. Now, why is he born? Look at it. A brother is born for what? He is born for adversity. You have people that was born beside you, inside of your life, to help you bear your adversities. He was born for that reason. She was born for that reason. Hello? I'm saying this. I'm saying, statement number one, I'm saying that a friend is kind. Number two, a friend is faithful. Number three, a friend makes you a better person. Statement number four, a friend is knit to your heart. Statement number five, a friend can share friends. Not selfish. It's got to be all about me, my feelings. It's got to be my friend. Can't share my friend. Okay? Well, he's dating me. He can't talk to any other girl. She's dating me. Can't have any other friends. Okay? No, wrong type of friendship. Okay? Statement number six, a friend expresses love. Statement number seven, a friend is willing to wound. Statement number eight, a friend strengthens others in God. Statement number nine, a friend rejoices in blessings. Statement number 10, a friend praises his friends. Statement number 11, a friend doesn't overstay his welcome. Statement number 12, a friend gives biblical counsel. 13, a friend is sensitive. 14, a friend sharpens. 15, a friend helps through trials. Somebody said this, happy is a man who has a friend. Happier is a man who is a friend. Happiest is a man who has a friend and is a friend. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, a man that have friends must show himself friendly. Well, nobody's my friend. Okay, then get with it. It's your problem. Get with it. It's your problem. When nobody shakes my hand, you got to stick it out. Got to stick it out. Go out in the lobby. Here's what you do. You say, I have no friends. Nobody shakes my hand. Take your hand, put it out. Go out in the lobby. Everybody that goes by, go up to them like this. Somebody's going to shake it. Somebody's going to shake it. You might even get money in it. Depends how you turn. Okay, I'm saying this. I'm saying if you want friends, you got to be friendly. You got to be friendly. Now, I love going up to strangers and winning their friendship. I like it. I like it. I went up to a guy the other day. I thought I knew him. How embarrassing. You ever do that? Jerry, come here. The guy's sitting in a restaurant. I thought I recognized him from the back. That's always bad. How embarrassing. So a lot of times with friends that are some of my fellow guys, I go up and say, oh, how you doing? Boom. So he's sitting there, he's eating his salad. I went up to him. I knew the guy. Silhouette. Only so many heads like that God makes in the world. I knew the guy. I mean, come on. So I went up, said, how you doing? He looked around, he said, do I know you? I said, no, I'm just trying to be friendly. I'm Pastor Mike Wells, Parkside Baptist Church. Love to have you come sometime. We have a very friendly church. Man, my face is turning red. I'm having trouble breathing. I shot out of there. You say, what happened? Oh, no, he's never come to church. Thank you, BC. Since friendship starts with a friendliness, let me give you some real practical tips. Number one, treat everybody politely. Have fun around people. Just treat everybody politely. Let everybody know that you care. Step number one, treat everybody politely. Step number two, smile. Learn to smile. Go up to somebody and smile. Man, when I go door knocking, and I love door knocking, I go door knocking, I knock on the door, hey, how you doing? Hey, I'm Pastor Wells, right down the street down here, Parkside Baptist Church. I'd love for you to come. Where do you go? Okay, learn to smile. Statement number two, invite people to, are you ready? To sit with you. Man, I'm always sitting by myself. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to go eat worms. Man, it's sad. I'm so lonely. Well, stop it. You're choosing to be lonely. Stop it. Stop it. Go up to somebody and say, hey, look, look. Every Wednesday night, I come, sit by myself. I'm tired of it. Would you sit beside me tonight? What are they going to say? No. I don't think so. I don't think so. Invite people to sit with you. Statement number three. Statement number four. Share with others. Share with others. You get a blessing? Hey, share it with somebody else. Somebody gave me a Starbucks card the other day. I don't normally buy them, but somebody gave me one. Somebody gave me one. Okay? And what did I do? I grabbed one of the college guys. I said, hey, man, look what I got. Somebody gave me a Starbucks card. You know what that means? He said, you're giving it to me? I said, no. I said, hop in the truck. Let's go. Drove down. Share. Share. Statement number next. Introduce new people to others. Hey, this is my friend. Introduce new people to other people. Statement number next. Reach out to new people. Great to see you. Wow. Hey, thanks for coming to our church today. Hey, that's great. That's great. Man, I'm so glad you're here. Hey, how'd you hear about us? How'd you hear? You did. Wow, that's super. Hey, that's a neat person too. Okay, so introduce new people to others. Reach out to new people. Statement number seven, look for ways to serve others. Sitting at the table, maybe some of you came to the pre-service meal to support the college tonight. I did. I sat with the Salazars. I wanted to check on Nathaniel. So I saw him sitting there. And I thought, hey, wow, perfect. I love them. New family in the church. Love them. You're a new family in the church till you make it past 1 year. Then your old family, we never talk about you again. But new family in the church, I sat beside them. We ate a meal together right before church. And I was just sitting there talking to Nathaniel, finding out how he's doing and stuff like that. Okay, it came time, Brother Salazar and I, he was grabbing some cups. Mrs. Salazar's already cleaned up an area. We're kind of left there. And so he's grabbing a couple of things. I'm grabbing a couple of things. Hey, you know, serve each other. Serve each other. You know, meet each other's needs in those areas. Man, I've been going to the, the volleyball games. Can I tell you? We got one left. We're playing Open Door Baptist Church. Where's Brother Jonathan? When is that? Friday at 7 o'clock. You need to come. Need to come. If you don't come for any other reason, come to eat the nachos and cheese. Put jalapenos on it. We'll stand together and enjoy the game and grow fat in the Lord. I was standing there beside Brother Kavanaugh. Man, we're talking about, I'm writing a new series on the parables right now. It's coming out as a Sunday school series. And we're standing there and we're eating. Man, we're talking about the parables as the girls are talking about the parables as the girls are playing volleyball. Okay, all right. And so look for ways to serve. Statement number next. Think of ways to encourage others. Think of ways. Now, I like writing notes. Letters, texts, you know, stuff like that. Siri and I are best friends when it obeys me. Think of ways to encourage others. Here we go. Two more statements. I'm done. Write lots of thank you notes. Get a 3x5 card. You know, I'll pull it out if you got one. Write a 3x5 card just to thank you. Next, Think of encouraging things to say. Just think of encouraging things to say. Yeah, I love it. We got little boys in our church. They wear ties. I think that's the neatest thing in all the world. I really do. Little boy wears a tie. I'll go up to him and say, man, that is a neat tie. Wow. Did your mama buy you that? And they always say, yeah. Did you pick it out? No. Your mama's got good taste, doesn't she? I don't know. Go up and compliment some people. Find something nice to say about somebody. Hey, I'm going to tell you, do we all need to work on it? Nod your head this way and admit your guilt. Find something nice to say about somebody every day. Find something nice to say about somebody every day of your life. Use it on your family. Write your family notes. Say something nice to your family. Compliment. Compliment. New hairdo, Rebecca. Compliment. Caitlin, is that right? Is that right? Compliment. New tie, compliment. New suit, it's not. But compliment. Look for ways to encourage people. You'll win more friends that way. Hey, I know what I'm talking about. You don't have to go through your life being a sourpuss. You can compliment people. You can love people. You can encourage people. You can help people. Hello? Well, you know, I just feel miserable. Good. I mean, not good, but go compliment somebody. It'll help you.